This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Shout out to our old Gil Tyree, our old friend.
Yeah, man. You always say that when you play that song, you think about him. But he does make you think of that. He has the kind of voice like Lou Rawls.
Yeah, and you just did it right there. You get a little thing going like this here.
Like Lou Rawls.
One of them people who want to sing like that.
Song. Yeah,
anyway.
Man, love that song.
Sam and Greg.
Groovy people.
You got us for another hour or so. And as we do top of each hour, we say to you, especially on this Thanksgiving morning, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a big old Thanksgiving hug to you fine folks in Buford,
in
Georgia.
Buford, Georgia. You know a whole lot of folk in Buford.
Buford, Georgia.
Home of the Wolves. And they, of course, still alive in the state playoff. Of course, they expect to be in the championship game every year. But football's not the only thing that they win in. They win in everything up there. They are just phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me bring you up. We got to revisit our poll question. We started it in the 6 o'clock hour. We'd love for you to participate. It's at 92.9 The Game. What's your favorite set of holiday games? Your favorite set of holiday games, meaning Thanksgiving Day NFL, Christmas Day NBA games, New Year's Day bowl games, or other? I know I'm catching them off guard, and if you're not ready, that's cool. But Garrett, producer, is it possible to get an update?
I'm a producer. I'm ready for anything. You know that.
Okay, sorry.
Come on now.
Well, you're juggling so many things. I wasn't sure if you had it.
It's part of the job, you know. It's part of the job. No, I was ready to go. So, let's see. Last place, other. Some people have said MLS. A couple people have mentioned. Okay. One person actually said it's if MLS. Made a Rick. I think he said MLS should make a point of scheduling matches on the 4th of July. They could own that holiday. I don't personally agree. I associate baseball to,
and people
it's
cramming,
America's pastime.
And people cramming hot dogs down their throat at Coney Island, but go ahead.
I don't really count that. That's not really a sport. I'm sorry. It's if you feel like you're about to throw up when you watch it, it's probably not a sport.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can come at me on Twitter. I don't care. It's not a sport. I'm not going to watch it. I don't care for
it. Hey, I'm with you. You don't have to apologize for it. We got you back on that,
man.
One.
Yeah.
An event.
In third place, I was actually kind of surprised with this, NBA on Christmas. I think it's kind of a new thing for a lot of – it's newer compared to the other games.
Really?
The other two.
Well,
you
the
know,
other
that,
two
that
it is,
kind of surprised me because you know why?
Speaking.
You know, people watch it because – they're going to wear these jerseys, and they want people to go online
that's
and
recent.
Order that stuff. You
I don't
know
think
what I mean?
That's not why people why. It's just so they can see LeBron James play the Warriors. Wherever LeBron was playing, like when he was playing the Cavs, they were always playing the Warriors. Our Hawks are playing this year. They're playing the Knicks, and that'll be a big game. And it's just – I think that's when basketball starts. For me, that's when the NBA really tips off. So I figure that'd be a little bit higher, but that's at 15% of the vote. NFL on Thanksgiving, coming in second place, 22%. And, of course, we still have time. It's if you go vote on the 92.9 The Game Twitter page. And in first place, overwhelmingly, like I thought it would be, this is a college football state. It's a college football city.
Mm-hmm.
And on New Year's Day, that's a college football day. 60% of the vote, New Year's Day, college football.
There you go.
Rose Bowl. Let's do it. Sugar Bowl. All of the above. It's a beautiful day.
You were talking about the Hawks plan this year on Christmas Day. I said early game, too. It kicks off at noon. And a little secret, Sam and I are going to be with you that morning.
Hey.
Sam and I are going to be working that Christmas morning. And Garrett. Yeah, all three of us. We're going to be here. So.
Okay. decking the halls and all that good stuff.
Exactly, exactly. What else happened? Oh, something else I was going to tell you that on this. Oh, you know what else happened on this day? And again, this wasn't always Thanksgiving, but again, the anniversary on as we sit here on the 25th day of November. This was the day that a lot of Americans were introduced to the phrase "no mas." What are you talking about?
Yep, yep.
Guys?
Hey, Roberto Duran.
1980, Sugar Ray's the rematch with Roberto Duran, and Duran quits and yells, "No mas, no mas." Those of you who didn't speak Spanish didn't know what the hell he was saying, but now we now know. And by the way, my favorite restaurant in Castleberry, Castleberry Hill, right over there, about a 5 hour Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yep.
If you haven't been to No Mas restaurant,
that's that is so good.
It is phenomenal. It and then you so got good. The shopping area right next to it. A lot of Mayan art, but it's got all kinds. That's a good place to go do some Christmas shopping, too, by the way. Come think about it.
Yeah.
Right next to it. But anyway, yeah, that happened on this day. We talked earlier about John Madden and Summerall working for the first time. I talked about the OJ run. A lot of people celebrating a birthday on this day, from Joe Gibbs to Bucky You-Know-What Dent. Former Atlanta Hawk coach, Terry Stott.
Yep, Terry Stott.
Celebrating. Hall of Famer Chris Carter, Donovan McNabb, Ben Stein, Bueller, that actor.
Yeah.
And this one for you, Sam, Percy Sledge.
Yeah.
Percy Sledge, mm-hmm. celebrating the birthday today. So there you go. And what would have been Joe DiMaggio's birthday, too.
Yeah.
So on this day where we get any number of things, and we've been talking a lot about the games and the matchups and stuff that have happened on this day, but from the games, there have been some records. Now, if you had to guess, Sam, what team has never played on Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. The Lions.
Oh, it was? Okay, I'm sorry. Well, then Garrett just asked you that question.
What?
What I just asked you, but we'll just edit my part out.
What happened? What
who have? What team has not played on Thanksgiving? It's obvious that Garrett and I got our notes from the same place.
So, maybe we might have. I have one that you don't.
Well,
have.
Who is it? I didn't get it. You didn't.
Well, who are the Falcons playing this week?
Oh, Jaguars.
There you go.
So they've never been.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the Lions have never played. They've showed up.
I'll see. You know, you're gonna have to change planes in that city when one of these days, and they're gonna somebody. You could never go and get out of Metro Airport. Go ahead, Garrett. You got one for us?
Well, yeah. I was going to say, what is the team with the second most losses? So we know the like Sam was talking about, they have the most losses of any team on Thanksgiving Day. Who has the second most losses?
I don't know that one. I don't have that one in front of me. Sam, you want to take a shot? I would guess a team from that division, but
Vikings? Nope.
Anyone else?
Go ahead.
Bueller. The Green Bay Packers.
Whoa.
The Green Bay Packers are going to be from that 20.
Wow. 20.
Yeah. So the Green Bay Packers, they were the first team to play on New Year's, or actually on New Year's. Oh, goodness gracious. It is early.
Thanksgiving.
So the first teams to play on Thanksgiving Day were the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. So the Green Bay Packers have been playing a long time, and they're in that division with the Lions, so they'll be playing a lot of those games. So they've had a lot of opportunities to lose. So it's not that they're bad per se, but they just play a lot of those good games, especially as of late.
Mentioned the Falcons get ready to take on Jacksonville this week. Of course, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Again, as we sit here and have watched this team, and there's no really intelligent way to analyze what we're seeing from one game to the next and what side of the ball versus the other side, as we approach this, what's the draw for you and where are you going to be focused at this 1 o'clock kickoff between these two teams? Falcons, of course, doing this on the road this week, Sam.
You just want to see if this team can bounce back and reestablish some things that were going well before the last two games. We got to get some consistency on offense. You know, you did do some things. It's definitely what you're focusing on today. Quadri Allison has got a chance to get some carries out of the backfield. Maybe we go to him and see if he can't do some things to sustain the drive. But the key is up front, you know, as always, with any football game or any football team, can the O-line reestablish itself and get some confidence and, you know, give Matt Ryan some time. You know, you may or may not have Cordarrelle Patterson. He missed last week, and you know what a difference that guy makes, you know, when he's out there doing whatever he can do, lining up in the backfield, going catch a pass. But, you know, when he's taken away, that's one less option. We know already without Ridley, you know, you're down to your tight end, you know, I don't know if Jacksonville has the personnel to take him away the way teams like Dallas and New England could. I don't know if they have the personnel for that.
So, listen, you know, and Garrett, jump in here too, because I just don't know how to answer this, and I don't know that one answer really outweighs the other, but it's one of those, is it the chicken or the egg? What is the issue when we talk about this offense, and you mentioned Matt Ryan and getting protection from him, is it that we just have this offensive line that can't protect this guy, or are we going to continuously deal with a quarterback who won't get rid of the ball quick enough? You know, and he stands back there like a cigar store Indian, and it could be more frustrating if we had, you know, if we had the means in our hand, a lot of us would do an Elvis to the TV. We get so frustrated.
I'm not going to sit here and blame Matt Ryan for getting punched in the face 100 times a game. I mean, no. I mean, you have to protect Matt Ryan. You have to keep him upright. I mean, like, you can't really blame the guy if he snaps the ball and he has a defender in his face within a quarter of a second. I mean, he can't even take a three-step hitting somebody in his face. And then on top of that, you have his top two playmakers who are out. One, Calvin Ridley, obviously we hope that he's doing all right, and we want to make sure he's doing well. But he's not playing football for the Atlanta Falcons right now. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's not playing football for the Atlanta Falcons. He's hurt. We don't know if he's going to be going on Sunday. So you lose your top two playmakers, and then obviously you have Kyle Pitts. But, I mean, you've only one guy. It makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but
Russell Gage on the outside. It's harder to do that if you have guys who aren't getting outside, guys not named Kyle Pitts. And you add in the fact that you have a line or a linebacker, whoever's blitzing the quarterback, is in your face the second after you snap the ball.
Okay, now I'll give you that a lot of the times. I won't allow it all the times, because that's not the case. We've seen Matt Ryan stand back there and get the protection and hold on to that ball. Listen, we're not waiting for guys to get open. You're supposed to throw them open. You're supposed to get that ball in an area where hopefully that receiver makes the cut. Now, if they don't make their cut or they don't run the proper route, that's different. But throw the ball. Get rid of it. And there have been, as you said, a lot of times where it's on point. But there's also a number of times, at least from my eyeballs watching this dude, where he's holding on to stuff. Get rid of it. Throw him open. And if nothing, let the ball hit the ground. But don't stand back there and get pummeled the way he has. Now, listen, we're armchair quarterbacks here and talking about what we see, and we don't know everything having to do with it. But this has been argument and mine as far as what we're seeing on the offense. And, yeah, he's missing some weapons, but it's just frustrating. So your frustration is with the offensive line. Mine is with the guy getting rid of the ball. Sam, what are your thoughts on this?
Yep, like I said, I start with the line, and can we just get to me, if we're having trouble with a pass block, and let's see if we can run block. Let's see if we can block something. You know, that's the thing. If you get some run game, establish that, it always opens things up for passing game when you have to throw. You know, and people may say that's not a real pretty looking game, but if it's effective and you get the ball and you get first downs and you score, right now we'll take it. We just want to see this team get back to resembling what we saw, you know, several weeks ago going into the Saints game before they had the difficulties and the offense just anemic the last 2 weeks. So I think that's what we want to see more than anything this week.
According to these numbers on Thanksgiving Day, 18 is the number. That's the most career touchdown passes on Thanksgiving. Now, our producer tells me that Matthew Stafford passed Tony Romo. Those were the two that held the record. But since this record was from last year, how is that Matthew Stafford passed him? I thought they had the same. They were tied there.
Oh, I was saying most career passing yards on Thanksgiving. That was Tony Romo.
Yards. Okay, yeah. I'm talking about TD pass. Okay, TD right. Passes, not yards. All right.
So well, Matthew Stafford passed them in 2017, I think, something like that. Right. Just off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Formerly with the
AJC. Someone can check me on that.
Formerly with the AJC, now with the Athletic. Jeff Schultz, he's going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. And again, happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Thanksgiving morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Whatever you have on the menu, and if you're playing turkey bowl today or whatever, you know, make sure and stretch before you go out there. We want no embarrassing, moments out there doing turkey bowl today. But so glad you're spending some time with Greg and I. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning, by the way.
That's right. We didn't lose a bet. We're happy to be here.
From 6 until 10, we're going to wake up with you as you guys roll over and go online shopping because y'all ain't going to the mall. So we'll have some fun with you with that tomorrow morning.
And we'll be back on Sunday in our usual spot.
We'll be back on Sunday at our usual spot from 6 until 9 because the Falcons return.
Of course, they do.
Playing the Jaguars coming up this Sunday. We hope to get them back into the win column. We don't know what we talk about.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
And we're going to bring our guest in, and I'm sure he may have a thought on this. Did you ever think that at some point you take a second and you think about Urban Meyer is scheming for the Atlanta Falcons right now? He's planning for a visit with the Atlanta Falcons. You can say that about an NFL team first and foremost, but then the Falcons. What is Urban Meyer going to do to contain the Falcons? It's just when you say it out loud, it just kind of makes you shake your head, don't it?
Let's ask our guest and see what he thinks about that. Joining us on the WayForIt.com hotline from The Athletic is Jeff Schultz joining us. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I don't know if you thought about what Greg mentioned about Urban Meyer right now is thinking that,
just his presence in the NFL. That's overall.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously, clearly it's not really working for him. I don't see the Jaguars play all the time, so it's hard for me to comment on their player development or whatever. But I just didn't really see Urban, and frankly, a lot of college coaches who are used to churning through young players working in the NFL. I think a lot of coaches can make that transition. I never thought he could. I never thought he'd have the patience. I thought the losing would grind him down because we saw what one or two losses would do to him in college. And I know people who actually were asked to work for him and with the Jaguars, and the response was no, not because they didn't like Urban personally, but because they just thought it could be a mess down there. And yeah, I think that's kind of what we've seen. I don't know. I don't know what I know. There's all these rumors he's going back to college. I don't. Who knows with Urban? He could do anything.
And that's why I was going to ask you next, Jeff. And we're considering these. The sweepstakes tickets that these coaches are with these big salaries they're getting this week and the openings in some places that would love to make a splash. I mean, who goes for these jobs now? Mullen was supposed to be the guy for Florida, and we paying them $12 million to go away. Who will the guy be in LSU? Who's Southern Cal? I mean, who takes these jobs, man?
You know, it's tough because as a college administrator, you're trying to find you have a very, very small number of proven head coaches, right? And almost few, very few to zero of those are going to leave their job to take your job. So you're trying to find either an ex-head coach who might kind of find that spark again, or you're trying to guess on a hot coordinator. And, you know, as they say in basketball, the view's a lot different when you're one seat over, you know, from the assistant to the head coach. And we've certainly seen a ton of great coordinators in football, offensive and defensive, who have struggled with that position and with the head coaching position. And then we've seen guys who, frankly, look, I mean, for the Falcons, Mike Smith, nobody had heard of Mike Smith outside of NFL circles. And he had a really nice run, right? And then there have been other coaches who you thought, wow, they're going to be great. And they were just bad, either because they couldn't make the transition to a head coach and being that big picture guy dealing with the media all the time. Or it turns out they are what they are. They're a great coordinator. But you know, in terms of dealing with personalities and all the stuff you have to deal with, it's hard. And, you know, the biggest problem in college is, and you pointed out, you know, Dan Mullen. I mean, he was just given this ridiculous extension 6 months ago. So now you're basically putting either your athletic department or, in this case, more likely boosters to rescue you to buy out the contract. And, I mean, look, I don't want to go on too long of a rant on this. We can talk about other things. But college athletics have been a mess for a long time at the economic and the administrative level for reasons just like this, right? I mean, athletes weren't getting anything. Coaches were either being overpaid or given ridiculous contracts or ridiculous buyouts, fired, you know, within a year or two after being given extensions. And so I don't know what the answer is, how you fix it, but there's some really bad decisions, obviously, that have been made at that level.
Jeff Schultz joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, well, let's switch some gears here. And let me ask you, now that the dust is settled, what's the story that you write or you tell on the Braves season and what happened during this playoff run and the World Series win?
Wow. You know, I was talking to somebody else about this the other day. I don't know that we're ever going to see another thing like it. I mean, it was such a unique year in Atlanta, not just obviously because they won a championship, and that's rare in these parts, but because of the way it happened, right? I mean, at the start of the year, everybody would have expected the Braves would be a World Series team, potentially, and then all that stuff happened, and there's no way. And at the trade deadline, Alex Anthopoulos, he'll admit to you, he made some moves that were basically meant to try to win a very winnable division, because the Nationals and the Mets and the Phillies weren't doing anything. He never had any expectations that this was going to turn into what it turned into. Every player that he got at the deadline far exceeded, in fact, what he had done for their previous teams. And it's just, that's the magic of sports, that weird things happen. And, you know, it is a very good clubhouse. I think if there's one lesson to be learned, are affirmed, it's how important clubhouse chemistry and momentum and all that stuff is, because the Braves were the classic example of the team greater than their parts. And you brought some guys in from the outside who were on teams that were losing. They were brought into a clubhouse that, you know, is a very good clubhouse. And they won a few games. And because this isn't talked about enough, because the division race was there for the taking, they had something extremely tangible and reachable to play for. And suddenly they got a little hot. They won 4, 5, 6 in a row, whatever it was. And now they're ahead in the division. Now they're gaining more confidence. And at that point, it was just sort of a train, you know, that picks up speed. If those trades were made and the Braves were, you know, however many games, 8 games back or something, at the deadline, and the Braves were grinding and grinding and grinding to try to make the division, win the division, I don't know if we would have seen this, but I just think it was this perfect storm of things. And obviously they got some great clutch hitting and some great bullpen, amazing bullpen work, and some good starting pitching. I'll say this, it was unique. But I also think in sports, and maybe even baseball in particular, you're going to see more and more things like this, because I think you're going to see more and more short-term contracts and deals. And, you know, obviously anytime something happens like that, you know, every other team tries to copy it. And we'll see how it plays out. And this could segue for your next thing. We'll see if there's even a baseball season in 2022. Yeah. The Braves might be celebrating this for a while.
Folks, we're spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Jeff Schultz. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff Schultz, ATL, at Jeff Schultz, ATL. That said, everyone I talk to from out of town, in town, we're having a GoFundMe to have enough money for Freddie Freeman. Where's that standing, Jeff, and when do you think we're going to get something final?
First of all, the Braves are owned by Liberty Media. They don't need a GoFundMe, okay?
Yeah, really.
Having the money isn't the problem. The decision to spend the money is the issue. I think the Braves, and if you know, I've mostly put it on Liberty Media. I don't know how much of this falls in Alex Anthopoulos' lap. But the Braves, I think, made a really poor decision not to get this thing done before the season. We all thought, and when I say we, as most of us in the media and people around the team thought, they're going to get it done in the winter. They didn't. Then we thought, you know what they're going to do? They're waiting. They're going to do it right. I really thought they'd announce it like right before spring training, because that's, you see things like that in sports life. They didn't do that. And then I thought, you know what? They're going to get it done. They're going to announce it right before the season, because it's a great jump start to the season. They didn't do that. And once they didn't get it done through the season, it's like, you know what, we got a problem here. Because now, even if the player intends to re-sign with the team, which I think has been Freddie Freeman's intent, now you have all these external pressures of looking at free agency. The player's starting to wonder, wait, why didn't they sign me yet, right? You have the agent and you have the Players Association saying, even if you re-sign, you have to take it to free agency. You have to get the highest possible deal because there's a ripple effect on every other player in the union. And your contract sets the bar for other first basemen or other, you know, multi all-stars or other franchise icons. And so once it got into the season, I really believed it was no more than 50-50 that he was going to be re-signed, even if he kept saying all the right things and the team kept saying all the right things. I've said 50-50 all along. I'm going to stick to 50-50. I understand that the two sides have a great relationship. I understand both sides want to get the deal done. That's always a big part of it. But I also understand that, just to play hypothetical numbers, if the Braves offer like a 5-year deal with a 6-year option for, let's just say, $30 million a year, and another team out there offers 7 years guaranteed or 6+ an option, if there's basically an extra year and $30 million on the table, Freeman can't say no to that. Yeah. I mean, for any of a number of reasons. Now, he might, he could, but as a general rule, you don't see that. So part of me still thinks the deal is going to get done, but I don't know. It only takes, and I thought Ken Rosenthal really hit it on the head when he wrote something for us in The Athletic the other day. It only takes one team. Because the way a lot of teams look at it, and honestly the way the Braves should look at it, is, look, okay, a 7-year contract for a player of Freddie Freeman's age, okay, boy, that's way too much for a guy his age. We totally get it. He's going to be too old by the end of the contract. The way I think it should always be looked at, particularly when you're owned by a multi-billion-dollar corporation, is, look, okay, he's going to be really old in years 6 and 7, but the focus should be on what is he doing in years 1 through 5. Because if he's given you something, as you project, he's given you something in years 1 through 5, that you really need to potentially win another championship or two, that's what you should be focused on. You deal with years 6 and 7 down the road. That's not that big a deal. I understand it's easy for me to say because I'm not the one controlling the books, but this should be about winning championships right now and during this period when Freddie Freeman is on the team.
Yeah.
Because if you let him go, guys, I'm not saying you can't come back from that, but it's a huge, huge blow. It's a huge blow on the team. On the roster, it's a huge blow, obviously, in the clubhouse. I think it's a huge blow with the fan base, and the pressure to me is squarely on the Braves right now. It's not on Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, they get it done, Jeff. We had to wrap up with you, but quickly, the Athletic is having a Black Friday sale. Tell people how they can.
I keep getting marked down.
Welcome to our report.
We are. If you go to any link on The Athletic, you can go on any one of my stories. Or I think you can go to theathletic.com/Black Friday. I'm not sure. You can subscribe now for $1 a month for 12 months. So basically it's $12 for the first year, which is ridiculous. And you don't, by the way, this is great because you don't have to get up at 3 a.m. to go drive to Target to save 79 cents on Play-Doh. You can do this right now while you're sitting on your couch having coffee or whatever it is you want to drink right now. Yeah. and go. So, but it's a great reading experience. You don't just get me. By the way, you get like 500 sports writers across the U.S., Canada, England. I think we have people in Spain. You could set up your feed for any writers you like, any teams you like.
Yep.
When the Braves or the Falcons or the Hawks play another team, you could go into that city site and read about the Sixers or the Wizards or the Jaguars or whatever. And so that's what's kind of cool. It's kind of like in 50 sports sections delivered to you every day.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Jeff, always great catching up with you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jeff.
To you and the family, man.
You too. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. That is Jeff Schultz. We got again. You know, we got a Black Friday deal, right?
There you go. We're going to wrap things up next. Right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. That's one of the many Monday night football intros with Hank Williams Jr.
Okay.
And that's what Garrett was throwing out there. I was talking over Hank, but, you know, y'all know the song. And his tumultuous relationship with NBC/ESPN/ Cap Cities and Disney and all that stuff over the years, but, you know, he's the most identifiable voice with that song.
Oh, yeah.
And if he just brought him in, he said, "Yeah, ready for some football?" You know, sometimes you just hit it right. Hey, before we get on out of here, we got a couple things to just kind of clean up before we turn things over to Chris Goforth. I want to remind you, we got all the action today, all the NFL action right here. So there's those of you like us who have to work today, unfortunately, and you maybe can't get by a TV, you can hear the Bears and Lions right here. Kick off at 12:30. You can hear the Raiders and the Cowboys right here. Kick off around 4:30. And you can hear the Bills and the Saints tonight. Kick off around 8:20. And while I'm at it,
That's what the public address announcer at the Superdome always.
Which one?
At the Superdome.
Okay, you better. Watch.
I think they're taking Mercedes Benz off that, building, right?
I ain't seen it forever. It's what you call it? It's a gambling. Is it Caesars? Or some gambling,
Harris.
Some casino.
Not Harris.
I think it's. Listen, I don't care. I ain't going back to that place.
Well, Harris is down the block from it anyway.
Hey, you in trouble?
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Well, that happens.
You
most
got a problem because you've been
time.
Running your mouth all morning about Detroit and that place, and you forgot the person that stood in line and got your coffee cup that's sitting in your house right now.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, you know where they're from, and they ain't taking kindly.
I said nothing bad about the Tigers.
You talking about the city.
I didn't talk about the city.
Yes, you have. You have hurt. You've been talking about the Lions. You've been talking about the organization.
The
you came back tracking,
man. I talked about the fans who show up for games and don't want to shake up their ownership.
You in trouble. That's all I'm saying. You can't say nothing about one and not affect the other. So you a proud Alabaman. Uh-huh. If I were to, you know. Somebody say something about your home state, you'd get your hair on the back of your neck stand up. By the way, that needs clipping.
Maybe not. It depends on whether or not you're telling the truth.
You might
be telling the truth.
So.
Well, you know. Hey.
Just saying. You know, folks don't always want to hear the truth.
Well, you know, that's what they
tell. Go walk through the house today with all that family members and start telling folks the truth and see how they get you.
Yeah.
You'll be over here eating Thanksgiving with Jesse.
I know that's
the
right.
I'm staying
out of the way.
Anyway, Sam and Greg here. Like I said, we are going to turn things over to Chris Goforth in a little bit here. But we're happy to be with you on this Thanksgiving morning. We're going to be back tomorrow. But like I said, we got some football action going on, NFL action today. But Saturday, we got you covered too. There's only one game that folks care about, and that's Michigan-Ohio State. And we have that for you, pregame 11:30, kickoff at 12. And the winner of that does affect a number of other games. Now, we all assume that Alabama's going to take care of Auburn, which, by the way, you can hear after the Michigan-Ohio State game. But, man, it's just this rivalry is one of those that could happen, and we've seen it happen before. And we got Nick Saban earlier. We played the sound of him. He just sounds different.
Yeah, he did.
He just sounds like, you know, there's a little bit of a crack in the foundation, and while we still are probably going to be there at the end of the day in the national championship game, the confidence that we have heard in years past, like, you know, listen, unless you got some kryptonite in your pocket, you're not stopping us. And there's just that little bit twinge in his voice. So were that to happen, and, you know, Michigan beats Ohio State, there's all kinds of changes to these top four that could happen and will happen. And so we're going to have all that action for you here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Who's that? Michigan's?
Yeah, this
Michigan. Not real good.
What? Because you said, I mean, what is the record, you know?
I don't have it in front of me here.
3-17.
Yeah, the last 20 years. And I thought you meant overall.
They've lost eight games over the last eight games, right?
Yeah.
By an average margin of 14 points.
Yep.
Mm.
Again, I don't have a dog in that fight other than the fact that I just like to sleep calmly. But I know that over these last couple decades, as you said, Ohio State's had the upper hand. It's just like when you want to look at the overall record between a lot of the rivals. You go look at what's going on over the years between, let's say, well, Georgia Tech. Okay?
Yep.
And there seems to be an ebb and flow as to how that plays out. Football and basketball. Okay, so overall, and again, we don't have those numbers. If you get a second, you can check that Michigan-Ohio State. You can check and see the Bears-Packers, these teams that have been playing for decades. And there's, again, you know, during the Aaron Rodgers years, of course you're going to have the Packers winning more. But then you go back during those Ditka years, and you know the Bears were winning it then. So there's always this ebb and flow with any big-time rivalry. I'll tell you one in the game that I always look forward to, and I didn't until about the last 5 years. But, Sam, you know what I really enjoy watching?
What was that?
Army-Navy.
Why did you not enjoy it before?
I just didn't follow it, and I didn't really care. But, you know, now that you – it's all about the TV show. Maybe that's what it is, because when you have a TV show, you fill up X amount of time before the game, and they got to fill it with stories that you don't normally see or hear about. It's like a game day before that matchup. And so, you know, yeah, that for me is just, it's something that is elevated. I know that Garrett has got a couple more facts from Thanksgiving Day games,
yes.
Man. Jump in.
Well, real quick, we gotta jump. So, but no, the big thing was, it wasn't actually the football related. It was, who's the first president to pardon a turkey? Because that's a big tradition that they do that. But, and it's not the first person to have a turkey presented. I'm saying the first one to officially pardon a turkey.
I was going to say Truman.
I'd say Franklin Roosevelt.
You may be surprised with this one. It was to distract from the Iran-Contra affair. Ronald Reagan.
Really? That's
Ronald
the first
really?
One?
Yeah. So, and then Herbert Walker Bush made it a tradition in 1989. He says, well, that was kind of funny. I kind of enjoyed that. So he brought it back, and yeah, that was the first.
Wow.
So they had like come in, and they'd done it a few times here and there. They'd presented a turkey, like JFK had been presented a turkey. But the first one to actually pardon a turkey and kind of make a joke out of it. And like, it's just fun little tradition.
Yeah.
But Ronald Reagan, he did that. Yeah.
I didn't realize that's where that started.
I did not know that either. Six, by the way. Six is the number of the most touchdowns in a single Thanksgiving game. Who holds that record? If you had to guess. Two people. Six touchdowns in a single Thanksgiving game.
Barry Sanders.
Bob, no. Bob Greasy and Peyton Manning. There you go. Anyway, listen, we could go on, but you guys just can go enjoy your day. We can't thank you enough for making us a part of your Thanksgiving morning. Sam and I will be back tomorrow morning. Going to turn things over to Chris Goforth. Have yourself a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Make it a safe one, Mr. Crenshaw. You do it. Garrett, thank you for everything you've done today. And for the rest of you, have a big day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.